Well, I certainly hope that you listened to the first issue of Faith and Family this morning at 11 o'clock. It's a new program here on KFUO, and I think it'll be very helpful for those of you who have a family, have a marriage, have children, have questions about the future, especially in the country at this time. So don't hesitate to tune in. That's on every day, 11 o'clock, Faith and Family. But this is Long Gospel on this Monday, March the 18th. I'm Tom Baker, your host for Worldwide KFUO's program of taking a look on how law and gospel makes a big difference in how you understand passages and how you define words. For example, if you were just to ask anybody at all about the word sin, and you ask, give me a synonym for sin, what does it mean? I guarantee you that 9 out of 10 people are going to say sin is disobedience. Well, there's a real problem with that understanding of sin. It's because if sin is just disobedience, then what is the cure for sin? It's obedience. Obedience. That is just wonderful. Now Christianity becomes like every other religion in the world, because that's what every other religion in the world thinks is how a person gets saved. If disobedience is the problem, then just get people to obey. In fact, you don't even need Jesus Christ for that. You can motivate people to obey with the law. The government does it every day. Why don't you always go over the speed limit? Why do you always pay your taxes? Why, and just list one thing after the other? Because you're afraid of being caught. You see, the law has two motivations: threat of punishment, hope of reward. And either one of them can be used to get people to obey. Parents do it all the time. Now, Johnny, if you make sure you cut the lawn, you'll be able to see that movie you want to see tonight. Hope of reward. You see, some people think that hope of reward is a better motivation than threat of punishment, but in both cases, what is the motivation? Self-interest. Imagine Jesus Christ coming to this world with self-interest. He certainly wouldn't have died on the cross for me or for you. In fact, there's some tremendous passages that indicate that Jesus didn't come out of self-interest. So Philippians 2, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You see, he made himself of no reputation, took the form of a servant, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. That's Jesus' interest in you. And that's why this is a reading we're going to be taking a look at, John chapter 12, which talks about what I believe is the real problem with sin. It's not just disobedience, because then the law could fix the problem. Every sin is actually an event of unbelief. What? Think about it. You decide that you want to take something from someone else that isn't yours. It's called stealing. That means you do not trust the Word of God, His promises that He'll take care of you better than the flowers in the field and the birds in the air. Every sin is a matter of unbelief. And that's why in Christianity, you're saved through faith alone. Because that is the opposite of unbelief. Instead of not trusting the promises of God, you trust the promises of God. We're really going to get into quite a bit of this on Wednesday. We're going to have an Insight Wednesday on what faith is and how it works in the Holy Christian Church as you attempt to convert others. I've had some great conversations with individuals recently, and I want to bring that all kind of together on Wednesday. We may start a little bit of it tomorrow with Pastor Mark Smith. But I want to go to the third level of sin. It's just not disobedience, and it's not even just unbelief. Because there's one sin, there's one commandment that is broken every time you sin. And it doesn't matter what commandment you are breaking, it always breaks this other commandment, and that's the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Because when you sin, that is an item of idolatry. Idolatry. That's what we're talking about here. Idolatry in the Holy Christian Church? Of course. That's why we need Christ every day. Every time you sin, you are correcting God. So let's say you steal that hammer from somebody else, because this is a nice hammer. They don't hardly use it. You can use it more. You know what you're saying to God? God, you made a mistake in giving that hammer to that person. It should have been given to me. Therefore, I am correcting your mistake. Talk about idolatry. You become your own God. Well, Jesus is talking about this in John chapter 12, and that's one of the readings. There's actually two gospel readings. There's Luke 23, 1 to 56, because this coming Sunday is not only known as Palm Sunday, it's also referred to as Sunday of the Passion. A lot of churches, at least this is what we did at our worship on Palm Sunday, we would read from John 12, which is the Palm Sunday reading, at the beginning of the service. And then the Old Testament was Deuteronomy 32, Philippians 2, which I just read for you, about Jesus taking no reputation. And then you could either read the lengthier Luke 23, 1 to 56, or John 12. Now, you're saying, why would you read the Passion narrative? You just had Good Friday services coming up. Well, a lot of people don't go to Good Friday services. So can you imagine going through the entire church year and not reading about the Passion of our Lord? The other option is John chapter 12, 20 to 43. And I'm going to start with verse 37. Because this is really kind of an interesting verse. Although Jesus had done many signs before them, they did not believe in him. That the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Now, the word sign here means more than a miracle. I've talked about this before, that there's nothing that happens in the Christian life that is not a sign from God. It's like a big signpost in front of you. Everything that happens in your life, from getting out of bed in the morning to going to sleep at night, that's a sign from God. For example, I don't know why I was thinking about that today, but when I got out of bed and I began walking, it just struck me how many people are in hospitals that cannot do what I just did. See, that's a sign from God to me personally that I still have that ability, which comes from God. We went out to eat last night with friends, and sure enough, we had a prayer before the meal. Yes, we're the ones paying for the meal. We didn't make the meal. It was a, well, you know me, it was a buffet. And so all that was made by other people, but we still thank God, even though we never saw him at the restaurant. Because nothing happens to you that is not a sign. So the fact of the matter is, you can do miracles and everything, and if you are of unbelief, you don't recognize it as signs from God at all. Now, even though there were many who did not believe in him because of these signs, verse 42 says, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, and they were saying anybody who believes in him, follows him, would be cast out of the synagogue, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. And then it's the next verse I really want to hit as to the real definition of sin that we're going to get to. But before we do so, let's go to the phone lines and let's talk with Ed. Hi, Ed, you're on the line.
Hi, how you doing this afternoon, Pastor Baker?
Very well, and yourself?
Oh, just fine. I don't have any way to get to any kind of books or documents right now, but I thought sin we got from the Greek word which meant to miss the mark.
Yes, the one of the words for sin is hamartia. And you're shooting at a target with a bullseye. Not only do you miss the bullseye, the arrow falls short of the target on the ground. That's a hamartia. The trouble is, in the Hebrew and in the Greek, there are also other words for sin, and sometimes it can be trespasses. You know, forgive us our trespasses, because we're going into an area God does not want us to go to. Another thing is forgive us our debts. Because when we sin, we owe God our eternal damnation. You know, the curse of the law, and the day that you sin, death is the result. And then there's this hamartia, which means, you know, you think you're doing the right mark, and God's going to be pleased with you, but your works miss the mark and fall short of the target.
All right, that's what I wanted to hear. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling. Anybody else can call at 505-7850 or toll free 1-800-730-2727. Now let me read that verse that will help Ed and all of us. Why did they not confess Christ? Which would be a sin. Verse 43. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Woo! Did you know that's what happens when you sin? You love the praise of men more than the praise of God. In fact, sometimes your good works are sins because you're following this principle, loving the praise of men more than the praise of God. You know, for me, when you come to a stop sign, I think a pause is enough. I mean, the wheels stop moving, whether you're on a motorcycle or in a car, and then you just take off again. But it's kind of interesting. When my mother was in the car with me, I came to a full stop. You get my meaning, don't you? I came to a full stop to make sure that I wouldn't hear something from her say, Tom, you should have stopped a little longer there. That was a sin. Yes, because I wanted her praise. Had she not been in the car, I wouldn't have stopped that long. I have a friend. He's out of Oklahoma, and I've gone to Oklahoma occasionally doing seminars. And riding with him is really something. I believe when he comes to a stop sign, he stops for at least 3 seconds. A full stop for 3 seconds. I don't know if something happened in his life where he went through a stop sign or something, but, oh, you know, I don't mind stopping at the stop sign, but if it's nobody coming either way, why? Oh, so long. But see, that's me. I've always had this principle that the shorter time you are between two distances, the less chance for an accident. That's just, yeah, I understand. It's just a way of me getting around, having to obey the law perfectly. And even when I, you know, occasionally I'll do what he does if I'm not in a rush, and I'll stop for a long time, and then I'll tell God, boy, do I get some credit for that? Which is sin. Yeah, God doesn't say thank you when you're simply doing what you're supposed to be doing. Remember, he talks about the servant who comes in and fixes the meal and all that. This is really important to understand this. And that is, sin is much more than disobedience. Sin is much more than unbelief. Sin is kind of idolatry because you make a new god. And maybe the new god is the praise of men more than the praise of God. For they love the praise of men more than they love the praise of God. See, that's why Jesus was crucified. He so loved you that he obeyed his Father's will and went the determined way to the cross. As he himself says, it is necessary that I go to Jerusalem and be crucified and then rise from the dead 3 days later. Boy, that's the kind of God that you have. And the sign he has given us that we are his children is the cross and the resurrection. For at the cross, he takes upon himself all the punishment you and I deserve to endure under the curse of the law. In fact, a lot of people don't realize that when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't take away your sins. What? Well, isn't that obvious to you? Look in the mirror. Are you a sinner? Are you a Christian? Probably the key verse, in my view, from a law gospel point of view, about what really happened on the cross is Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. And I've said this 1,000 times, and I'm not going to ever tire of saying it, because it is the essence of the Christian faith. As to what Jesus really did, he took away that which separated us from God. And what separated us from God? It was not sin, in the sense of just disobedience. Because animals do not follow their intended purpose either when they were created. We got lions eating human beings. That never happened in the Garden of Eden. But they don't go to hell. Why? Well, listen to Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. That the blessing of Abraham, remember Abraham, through him would come a nation, a multitude of stars and the sands of the earth, also the Savior, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Yes, whoever trusts the promises of the gospel, and that's what faith is, whoever trusts those promises, you are redeemed from the curse of the law. What does redeem mean? We sometimes have redemption centers. I know when I was growing up, if you went to certain gas stations, you got green stamps or different color stamps, and every time you filled a book, you could get a present or a gift. You send the book in, and maybe you get a magnifying glass. The one I was going for was a television, but I think it took like 75 books, and that meant you had to fill each book would get filled up with stamps if you filled maybe 15 times. So you can imagine how many gallons of gas you had to get. And I remember going to Florida with our mom and dad, and I was just young, but I had these stamp books, and we were in a 57 Mercury. And I kept making sure that Dad would only stop at a gas station that gave out these stamps. Well, he needed gas, and he passed by a couple because they didn't have the stamps, and he ran out of gas on the expressway or the highway, whatever they had in those days. I mean, that was way, way back, and I think I was only probably about 1955. Well, it had to be after 57 because it was a 57 Mercury, yeah. So we had just got it probably 1958, 59. Well, he made a point of never stopping at a gas station with stamps after that. At least for the trip. So I remember us sitting on the side of the road while he was trying to find a gas station and bring gas back. Oh, there was no AAA in those days. Oh. That was really something. So, redeem means you get all these stamps in a book and then you redeem them for a gift. Jesus redeemed you, but you were not bought with stamps. You certainly were not even bought with gold or silver. According to the Bible, you were bought with his holy, precious blood, his innocent suffering and death. And so we were freed from the captivity of Satan. Jesus makes very clear that the foe he is fighting against, in whose kingdom we were conceived and born, is that of Satan. Every child is born with original sin, inherited from Eve and Adam. And therefore, we do not become sinners because we sin. We sin because we are conceived and born as a sinner. And that's why infant baptism is so critical. That's why God has established it. But getting back then to the definition of sin. The definition of sin is loving the praise of men more than the praise of God, which is not only an act of disobedience, not only an act of unbelief, it is also an act of idolatry. We put the praise not of God, but of someone else, and that's worshiping an idol. Whatever you trust, a lot of times whatever is your motivation. So during the time of the Reformation, it's really important to understand that both the Romans and the Lutherans understood that sin was bad. Now that really wasn't where the argument was. Where the argument was, is what is the role of good works in one's salvation? And unfortunately, through the centuries, with the creation of purgatory, which never exists in the Bible, indulgences, which never exist in the Bible, and penance, rather than repentance, which never exists in the Bible, that is, penance doesn't, you got to a point where people thought that they could get God to love them if they were more obedient. But no. You see, give God at least as much credit as your own parents you give. Do they love you? Yes. Do they love you when you're disobedient? Well, the answer is yes. They may not appreciate your behavior. They may hate your behavior, but they don't hate you, proper parents. And God is the supreme father. He is the one who loves you when you were still his enemy. And that's why he sent his only begotten son. To do what? To take away the curse of the law. So you are still 100% sinner, but you're also 100% saint at the very same time. 100% saint from the viewpoint of God as he looks at you through Christ, and 100% sinner when you look at yourself under the law, because you never do a sinless good work. The old Adam always has evil motivation, whereas the new man in you, which is Christ, never sins. So you have that conflict as Paul says, between the old and the new. And who's going to win out? The new, who is none other than Jesus Christ, who died so that you will never really die, and who lives so that you live eternally. On tomorrow's Law and Gospel, it's a Tuesday Ruminations with co-host Reverend Mark Smith. It was kind of interesting that a politician has now changed his view on the gay lifestyle because his son admitted his homosexual preference. Well, we're going to talk about how one can argue against such a change without any need for the Bible. That's on tomorrow's Law and Gospel with Mark Smith. Until then, Tom Baker, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.